time
is 5:59.
You're listening to WSKV Pickup Country. It's time for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV-FM. Listen live at 104.9 FM, stream at listenlikealocal.com, or enjoy the program on the official WSKV-FM app from the Google Play or Apple App Store. You can also listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. You're listening to PCSN Live. Let's join Dave and Ken at the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9. This is David Falter along with Ken Simon. And tonight we're going to have a special guest on here, Ken, that has been with WSKV for, I believe, Ethan said 26 years as a broadcaster. And talking about Greg McIntosh. And he has announced his retirement here from WSKV in broadcasting. And we'll be having him on the show to, I guess, kind of reminisce over those 26 years here at WSKV. And, again, one of my best friends in the world. And, you know, he will be missed part of our trio and going forward. But again, sometimes it's just time to go right on, you know.
Yeah, and we'll find out what that reasoning is, why he's decided to go when we get him on the air. But definitely be missed. We'll get into that a little bit more under those circumstances. And we'll start off, though, with COVID updates.
Yeah, I think, you know, today, well, tomorrow is a big day, but I think today is a kind of a normal day for Kentucky right now. We're kind of at the peak with, I think, 655 today, which is been kind of the par, I guess. It's still a high number. I think it's still a kind of a danger number, but the Powell County number was zero for the fifth consecutive day. So this is probably going to be our lowest weeks that we've had in a while here from our Wednesday to Wednesday time. But Powell County is still considered in the red zone by the federal government.
Yeah, they sure are. Let's start with some state numbers here first. 40,926 total positive. Of that number, 37,848 are confirmed cases. Probable cases are 3,078. Unfortunate 842 deaths that have occurred. Total tested 785,138. So we're over that three quarters of a million number. The positivity rate has gone down 5.41 here in the state, which is a nice number in a sense as far as where we are. Last week, I believe we were like 5.81, maybe, a lot higher. So the fact that that's down. Here in Powell County, the total number of cases has been 70 from the very beginning. 59 have recovered. That leaves us with 11 active cases here in the county. But as David said, for the fifth day in a row, Powell County Health Department is reporting no new cases. So that's nice. And actually, four additional individuals have met the criteria for recovery. So I was at 15, down to 11. And as David mentioned as well, the red zone. Powell County was listed as a red zone county in a federal report that looked at last week's dates between 8-8 through 8-14. And during those days, Powell County had cases above a certain rate for our population. And of those that tested that week, over 10% had positive results. So again, the positivity rate higher than the state average, more than, you know, about double the state average in a sense. So therefore, that's why Powell County was in that red zone based on that, over 10% positivity rate.
So that tells us, well, I think we had 12 cases last week, I believe it was total. And, so those numbers, if you extrapolate the numbers, is a minimum of 120 tested to have the 10% positivity rate. So if you just play with numbers and just kind of figure your own math and, as you and I talked about prior to the show, that positivity rate could stay high because if you're still not testing a lot of folks, then you're going to get a skewed number, you know. And but you know, if you've had 5 days of zero, if you have two more days of zero, that's the week they test or that's the week that's on your report, then you're going to be out of the red zone pretty quickly. But since it was stop on the 14th, I guess we are, what now, 5 days in to the new report, and we're 5 days in the new report with five cases of zero. So I guess that'll probably go on for another, what, 2 or 3 days.
Right.
And then you'll see the new report. We may be at, go from red zone to nothing in a New York minute, I guess.
Yeah, and we were talking about this earlier in a sense as far as, okay, does, even though the we've not had any new cases for five consecutive days, does that also mean we don't have anybody who's testing during this time window? So it would almost be nice to know, guess what, there's been 50 people who have tested or 10 people who have been tested. They've all come back negative, as opposed to just saying five consecutive days of no new cases. At least have some kind of idea, because our thinking is, well, maybe people aren't testing.
Yeah.
So therefore, that's why there's no new cases, because in the last 5 days, nobody's tested. So again, the statistics, depending on how it's skewed along those lines to give us that data.
Yeah, and then tomorrow's a big day for the KHSA. They will be making a decision on fall sports, and they're going to have some answers to make. The SEC, I believe, right now has already put their fall schedule out. They're going to play 10 games within the Southeastern Conference. There have been a couple other conferences that have decided to go ahead and play. There's been a couple conferences they were not going to play. And there's been a Big Ten, I believe, has said they're not going to play in the fall, but they will play in the spring. So they've kind of reversed their course and changed it to maybe playing in the spring. However, I do know a lot of the medical folks don't like the idea of playing college football in the spring because of the short period you have for recovery after the season is over. And it's the same thing we heard, I think, about a couple weeks ago with the commissioner and the folks at the KHSA. You know, they looked at a fall or a spring football if they went ahead and canceled the football season this year. And most of the coaches did not want to do that because it would negatively affect the fall sport next year because of the recovery time and all those things. Now, I would think if you ask those coaches, okay, if we take your fall season, do you want to play it in the spring? And I would say you'll see a complete turnaround of the responses if they were given those that ultimatum. I don't think that was probably thrown out there at them. But, you got to do what's best. You want to fight for what's best for your program. You want to fight what's best for your community. You want to fight what's best for everybody. To me, with the number of cases that we still are, we're still at the top of that. I'm not sure it's the right time to go back, but we still have, what, September the 7th was still the first day of volleyball, soccer, cross country. Am I missing here for here anyway? I don't think anything. And then football was on the 11th.
Correct.
So we're still, what, 11? We're still 18 days away from that first date that we're already there. It's probably too early to say, okay, we need to push it back again. Wait to see the numbers in 2 weeks, and we'll decide. And that won't surprise me one bit if the KHSA says tomorrow, okay, we're still planning on starting the 7th and 11th. We'll check the numbers again when we get closer. I think that's probably the right way to go. Right now, I think it's probably too early to say we're done. I think it's probably too early to say let's push it back another 2 weeks. But if the cases stay the same, I think it's if the case numbers were on September the 7th, as they are today, I would think push it back. But we don't know what they're going to be September 7th. And as we always say, if you guys want to get the fall sports in, wear your mask, social distance, and wash your hands. Do the things you're supposed to do.
Yeah, I think I actually agree with everything that you've said. I think, to me, that's the smart thing to do at this point as far as KHSEA. Let's go on and continue the practices, carry on like we plan, and under those circumstances, let's see where we are. And if it gets to the week before, in a sense, that Thursday before the 7th of September, now let's push it back. But I think at this point, let's carry on and see where we are. And again, we'll find out tomorrow. I believe it's 10:30.
10 o'clock.
10 or 10:30.
It's in the morning.
Yeah, and you can catch it on YouTube. They stream live where you can sit in on those meetings. But to me, as opposed to just coming in and saying, no, we're going to call it off, or no, we're going to postpone it, or whatever else, let's go on and ride it out, and let's, reassess this again.
I'm just giving you non-previewed information. This is just coming from my head. I do know this. I talked to a golf coach, and I won't say where or who, but I talked to a golf coach on Saturday that thought that when they met tomorrow, if they canceled football, they would probably cancel all fall sports. And this coach worked at the SSA for a number of years. She may have information I don't have. I don't think I've heard anything from the commissioner that says he's even thinking about canceling anything. The only thing I heard from him last week on the news was, we're playing fall sports. We just don't want know when and what it looks like yet. So I think the commissioner wants to play, and I think the right thing to do at this point is probably to stay where we are and look at the numbers again as we get closer to the 7th.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. We'll see next week. We'll give all the details. Not that people won't necessarily find out before then, in a sense, but still, we'll recap what KHSEAA, the commission, ended up saying there as far as what they're looking at going forward. So,
time to take our break here on PCSN Live. We'll be back in a moment with Greg McIntosh here on PCSN Live on WSKV 104.9 FM.
It's summer clearance time going on now at Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Stanton. Get the best deals of the year right now. From the economical 2020 Jeep Renegade to the most awarded SUV in the country, the 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee, the deals have never been better. Rebates up to $6,000 on Jeep products and, as always, the best atmosphere to buy a new car. The no-hassle sales staff and exceptional service team. Make now the time to buy. Don't forget that rates are as low as 0%. Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, just off the Mountain Parkway, exit 22 in Stanton.
Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, and they know that you're unique in the way you want to do banking. That's why they offer great services like Phone Smart, where you can call and find out about your account. Or how about text banking, where you can text and find out exactly what you want to know about your account. And you can set up really cool text alerts and find out when maybe you drop below a certain balance, reminding you to balance your checkbook. They have online banking and convenient apps for Android and Apple. Those apps give you the ability to make mobile deposits. Just snap a picture of your check and deposit it. Whitaker Bank also allows you to apply for a loan online at their website at WhitakerBank.com. And don't forget, you have access to your money 24/7 with Whitaker Bank's ATMs, where you can make a cash withdrawal day or night. For more information about these great services, call the main branch at 606-663-2283. That's Whitaker Bank, Stanton, Clay City, and Campton. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Appalachian Wireless has a question for you. Would you rather pay $650 or $66 for a smartphone? If you think this answer is simple, then the Appalachian Advantage Plan is for you. Pay less upfront for today's hottest smartphones, and then pay just a few dollars more every month on the monthly bill. Many smartphones are $5 a month or less after you factor in the $20 discount from the Advantage Plan compared to the contract offering. Better service, bigger savings. That's today's Appalachian Wireless. Payment agreement required. See store for details.
The emergency department at Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvin is faster, closer, and better. When an emergency strikes, we are right down the street and ready to help. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on-site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is an accredited chest pain center and level 4 trauma center. You can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. Choose the emergency department at Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvin. Faster, closer, better.
And welcome back to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9. And we are being joined now by, I'm going to make this guy feel old, my former, well, I guess not my former, but old graduating class of 1981, former baseball teammate, one of the best friends in the world, Greg McIntosh. He's going to be with us tonight, and we're going to kind of celebrate the years here at WSKV, unless he wants to come back. I guess either way is okay.
He's got an open invitation.
Anytime, yeah. How you doing, Gregory?
Well, I'm doing good. I'd just like to take the opportunity to thank WSKV and and you guys, as well as all the coaches and everything, for making all the years of broadcasting go well. Had some glitches here and there, but everything usually went pretty smooth. I enjoyed it. It's time to move on and do other things and take some more responsibility at my real job there in Georgetown. I was just listening to you guys talk about the sports season and the COVID, everything that's going on. I have indeed talked to a football coach and a wrestling coach. The wrestling coach is one of the big programs in wrestling here in the state of Kentucky, and he seems to think that they're going to move his sport till the spring, and the football coach is thinking that they may not play at all.
Well, like I said, when the golf coach told me that the other day, I'm thinking, what do you know? And when I listened to the commissioner's on the news last week, he said, we're going, we're playing. But I forgot about wrestling. Wrestling, I guess, will be a major contact sport, but it's not one that's going to be held back by playing back-to-back seasons like football would be.
Yeah, I don't think it was that big a deal to move it to the spring. The only thing is, if you've got kids that do get sports now, maybe they won't be able to participate in only one of those sports rather than in the spring where they would be able to participate in both the sports that they normally do.
You know, I wonder too, Greg, if we talk about, you know, fall sports and spring sports, and we really only have a couple winter sports. You know, to me, you could almost make a hybrid season somewhere of a, like wrestling. You push wrestling to, let's say, February to April, and then if a kid plays baseball or a kid plays basketball, they at least get partial seasons in before wrestling season. You know what I'm talking about?
That's true. And or soccer. Nowadays, you've got a lot of kids participating in soccer more than ever before. We've seen that with Powell County especially.
Yeah.
A lot of kids wanted to play soccer rather than baseball and track and things like that. But I tell you what, I've been several places and I've talked to several people, and the feeling is it's going to be like a lot of the college football and just not play at all.
Well, I mean, I think what the SEC will wind up having and you know, the colleges is a little bit different than high school. You may be able to keep your kids in those pods or in a smaller group setting at a college level. In high school, where there's no testing at all in high school, and there's no really control of where the kids are going to be, it's really hard to me in a high school to keep COVID away. At the college level, I still think it's really hard to do, but it's probably a little bit more manageable at the college level than it is high school.
Yeah, because you get away from the parents more or less and the rest of the family, because most college students live in the dorm or in the apartment, and you can kind of isolate those kids. Whereas in high school, you've got other family mm-hmm. members that are going to school and parents and grandparents and it's kind of a snowball effect. It kind of goes everywhere, and you've seen that in a lot of places, like in North Carolina and Tennessee and stuff, where they've tried to restart some stuff, and the numbers have went up drastically, and they've had to stop doing anything at all.
Well, it's kind of like Kentucky. I think when we opened up, basically the same time a lot of other states did, and I thought it was under maybe a little bit of pressure that they opened up, and I thought, if you listen to what Andy Beshear was saying, he didn't want to open up, but he did. The protocols weren't there for the CDC open up, and we still opened. And I think he was under maybe a little pressure to open up for business and for the economy. But then you had a spike. So, the faster we get things opened up, you're going to see another spike regardless. I think, you know, colleges going back, we're going to see spikes in those communities. Where the schools go back into session, I think you're going to see spikes in those communities. So I don't think I think the September numbers may be worse than the August numbers if we're not careful.
That's true. And a rural setting like Powell County, Lee County, Essex County, Owsley County may not get those spikes like other places do. I know Lexington, Winchester, Georgetown, there's more and more people that I've talked to. They're going to homeschool their kids. or they're going to do the partial here, partial at school and partial at home, or they're going to just do them the traditional homeschool where they don't participate in the school curriculum anymore.
I think there is merit to all of those. I think that the schools that are going virtual right now, I think kids can learn the same information. They're just doing it differently. And, you know, we experienced this when we were going to college, Greg, and Ken. When you went, you know, we first went, everything was live. Later on in school, when I was going through doing my master's program, man, everything went online. And we missed that transition. Now these kids can take classes online, and it's normal.
Yeah, and that's what my stepkids do. They take online classes and very rarely go to the campus.
Yeah. I mean, it cuts down the expense. I mean, it's really an economical way to go to school.
Yeah, it is anymore. And, I mean, you should see some of the prices on going full-time as a student at some of these colleges here in Kentucky. It's crazy. No wonder a lot of these kids are trying to get scholarships to go play football, basketball, baseball, softball, those kind of sports.
Yeah, and on that note, it's a good time. We're going to take a break here. Stay with us, Greg. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a couple minutes here on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in asphalt paving for commercial and large private applications, parking lots, roads, entryways, and more. And they can do complete site preparation and provide expert asphalt paving. Call their local office at 606-663-2437 or find more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
At Davis & Davis Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event for your loved one. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com for more information.
When a health crisis threatened our community, the healthcare heroes at Clark Regional Medical Center answered the call. As we move forward, life might look different, including healthcare, but there's one thing that won't change: the quality of care you've always relied on at Clark Regional Medical Center. We are again offering a range of healthcare services, from preventive screenings and physicals to quality of life procedures, to help you make the most of every moment moving forward. Our entire team is working hard to ensure a safe place of care and a healthier community for all of us. For more information, visit clarkregional.org.
When you need insurance for your home, auto, life, or business, contact agents Lisa Mays and Shauna Mays at Whitaker Bank Insurance Group. Stop by their Stanton office, located inside Whitaker Bank on Main Street, or give them a call and get a quote at 606-663-3625. Always striving to meet the needs of their customers, Whitaker Insurance Group, 606-663-3625.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, being joined again on the phone by Greg McIntosh, again, a longtime broadcaster here in 4WSKV. So, Greg, let's go this way. Where did you get your start in broadcasting with WSKV?
Well, I think maybe it may have been football was the first game that I actually did, and I think maybe Ken was out of town that night. I was with Keith Joseph, and I don't think I was the first choice. I think he tried to get some other folks, and I was the choice that he came up with. I kind of liked it, did a few games later on, basketball, and then got to be where it was Keith, myself, and Ken there for quite a number of years, and then it was Ken left under some circumstances that were kind of confusing to both me and Ken, and still are. Isn't that right, Ken?
Absolutely, yes. To say the least.
And then I didn't have anybody to kind of help me out, so I got David to start helping me, and Matthew Priest, and then a few years later, King came back with us. So we've had a lot of fun. It's not such a bad gig if you're sitting around talking about sports and getting paid for it, and you're with your friends.
That was always the perk for me. Is like, you know, like I said, we go back to, you know, well, I say high school. We don't just go back to high school. We go back to first grade. I think we were in the same classes almost all the way through school. Not all the way, but when you're in grade 1 through 12 and then go to college and roommates for a little while, and that's a long time to spend together. And, you know, we spend a lot of good times together, a lot of some bad times together, but that's what makes friendship special. And working with radio, it just kind of like a good fit, just like a good glove. It's we know where you and I at least know where each other was going all the time, and that always made it kind of fun for me.
Yeah, we always had a good time, and Ken and myself, we especially have a good time now that I've gotten to know Ken some, like I know you, David, too. I
mean, yeah,
we have a good time, and it's different, but it's yet the same. It's just like Ken has always been around, even though he's not been a Powell County in all of his life like we have. I think we'll take him as an adoptive Powell County.
I'll take it. I appreciate being grafted in.
We've kicked him. We've kicked the Louisville out of him, I believe, by now.
Well, it's almost been 30 years.
We can't kick the Cardinals out of him yet, but we. You know, maybe we need to join the Cardinal bandwagon. I don't know, because the Reds, when I watched a while ago, they were losing 3-0 to the Royals after a bad first inning by Luis Castillo.
Let me clarify for the listeners, not the Louisville Cardinal variety.
I am a
Wildcat fan. It's the St. Louis Cardinal variety as opposed to the Cincinnati Reds variety. Well, we have a good time kind of ribbing each other every once in a while over that. You know, it makes for some good banter.
Oh, yeah. I want to ask David, did you see former Red Brandon Phillips coming to play for the Legends?
Well, I will give you one guess. What child that you would know would be the first one to buy tickets to go see Brandon Phillips?
One of yours.
Yeah. And they're both there watching Brandon tonight. As soon as they signed... They sold four tickets.
Yeah, or both.
Both are there. They bought tickets as soon as he signed. And I said, do they have fans? And they said, well, yes, they have limited seats. I didn't even realize they had fans at the Legends games. But I guess they have limited seating at the games. And I do think it will sell some tickets.
Yeah, it will. And they're doing like a 14 round robin thing for I think it's the Bourbon Trail Cup or something like that.
Here's
a lot of former Kentucky players playing in, a lot of former major leaguers playing.
Well, here's the thing with like a Brandon Phillips. The guy's, what, 38, 39 years old now?
Yeah.
That guy just loves to play baseball. He doesn't care where it is, how much he's getting paid. He wants to play baseball and wants to get a chance to try to get back to the big show. But that guy, when you watch him play at Cincinnati, they might not have been the best team in the world. But you always knew Brandon Phillips was going to have fun on the diamond.
That's true.
You know, and whether you loved him or hated him, he was flashy. He would just kind of show offy. If you compared his numbers to others, it probably wasn't great. But you know what I've done? Well, like with Brandon Phillips, talk about him for a second. When you compare the numbers of he and Joe Morgan over their careers, there's not a huge difference between the two. I mean, Morgan is going to beat him with batting average for sure, but. As far as home runs and defense, I'm not sure there's a big difference there.
I don't think so. Just Joe Morgan went about it a different way. And
yes, very professional.
The way that was accustomed at the time, in the 70s, it was professional.
Yes.
Now it's more of a chance to do those kind of things.
Brandon, he may have been a little bit early. I mean, it's like the Fernando Tatis the other day. Give me your thoughts on this one real quick. 3-0 count, you're up by 7, bases are loaded. Do you take, if you get a take sign from your manager, or do you go ahead and swing away?
Well, I know what he did. When we were growing up, it's a take sign.
And you followed your coach's orders, right?
Exactly. Nowadays, there is no take. 3-0 even at the high school level, 3-0, kids are swinging away.
Well, I mean, he was given the takedown. His manager, I guess, publicly kind of really scolded Tatis Jr., but you're talking about a kid that is a phenom.
Yes.
You're a brave manager to scold your phenom. You know, he's not getting paid the big dollars yet, but the next batter was Manny Machado. He does get paid well. A pitch went right behind him. So that was to show Tatis he wasn't supposed to swing 3-0.
Baseball, I've been watching some here and there, more on the phone than anything else, especially where we were, I wasn't able to watch. But I did see where the first player hit a home run that was born in 2000 the other day for the Nationals.
Ooh, never thought about that.
He was born like February 3rd, 2000.
So 19-year-old, right?
Funny thing is, he went in to pinch hit for Starlin Castro, who was the first player to hit a home run that was born in the 90s.
Wow. Well, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's a pretty cool stat, though. See, that's the stats Greg always pulled out of his hat when he gave them on radio. Me and you look bad, right?
I don't think he does it intentionally. He just has this vast knowledge that's going on.
He's a stat guru.
Go ahead. We always like doing that stuff. And we were always outside doing something. If it was summertime, we were playing baseball. If it was getting cool, we were playing football. If it was colder, we were playing basketball. And then we were back to baseball every single year. It's not that way. Nowadays, you don't see that all the time with all these kids and you being outside and stuff. So we learned as we went. We taught ourselves, and you were just thirsty for that knowledge, and anything you could get, you kept.
Yeah, we'll make you real old here in a minute. We're going to take another break, come back with more with you here in a minute here on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken and our guest, Greg McIntosh, here on WSK.
The death of a loved one is the most difficult loss that you will endure in this life. Hearn Funeral Home Incorporated provides you and your family with a meaningful and compassionate environment to assist you through this difficult process. Hondo Hearn and the staff of Hearn Funeral Home believe that every life has value and should be honored. If they can assist you in any way, we ask that you contact them at 663-4375 or stop by their modern facilities at 125 West College Avenue in Stanton, Kentucky. You may also visit their website at hearnfuneralhome.com.
Did you know that Stanton Ace Hardware now offers full service sales and repair on the popular steel brand chainsaws, string trimmers, blowers, and pressure washers? Stop into the former Roses Garden Center right next door to the main Ace Hardware building and check out their large inventory of new steel products and a large inventory of parts. Stanton Ace Hardware, your hometown dealer for Steel, Husqvarna, Echo, and Skag. For more information about deals and coupons at your Ace Hardware, text ACE right now to 606-663-2811. That's ACE to the studio number right now, 606-663-2811, for special savings at your Stanton Ace Hardware.
And we're back here on PCSN Live. We're on WSKV 104.9. Kim cut me off. We actually traded seats tonight. I've been a little back pain over here, so I wanted to trade seats with Ken for a minute. But I want to ask you a question. I know you remember the days of we were really young and played with our baseball cards, had our little games we made up ourselves, and we had to know the stats of every player to have the best cards to be able to match up with the other guy, right? You remember those games?
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
So we were kind of stat gurus at the age of six. Yeah, I mean, we were 6 and 7, and in the winter when we couldn't play baseball, we had our games we played with baseball cards. It was really cool. We wasted millions of dollars doing that.
Oh, yeah. Well, and the games that we played didn't hurt the cards.
Correct.
Like other kids that played.
Yeah, I played those other ones, too.
And we never bent the cards. We kept them, and we had them for a long, long time. And I've still got some of the cards that I had when I was growing up. Not all of them, but I do have some.
Yeah, and after a while, you and I went into business together trying to sell baseball cards, do some shows, and I actually had some really cool autographs folks come in. I know Paul O'Neill and I think Cal Daniels and
Chris Sabo.
Chris Sabo. We had some really nice autograph signings when we set up with some shows. I don't think we made a lot of money, but we had a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was most of what we were doing. Back in those days, you made $10 or $20, you were good, get you some gas money and something to eat, and you were ready to go.
You were ready, just having fun, man. Just living the dream when you're young and don't have a lot of cares in the world about paying any bills. So we didn't have any back then, so we were just kind of going to school and having fun with our baseball cards. We're little kids. We'd be little kids all over again. It's kind of like we do on radio. It's kind of, we're doing these games and doing these broadcasts, but we're still living when we were 16, 17, 18, when we talk about games. And that's why I miss the most, I think, of broadcasting is I've never got to do a lot of baseball, you know, and or softball. And that's probably the games that I love the most. Of course, I've been coaching for a long time. But you miss your favorite sport to get to broadcast those. Those are the ones I always miss because of coaching, you know?
Oh, yeah. And if you're like me, when we grew up watching the NFL and NCAA football, so high school football to us was all new. And I've had to, doing broadcasting, I had to learn to like high school football.
It's the same.
It wasn't natural.
Yeah, we didn't have football. Ken probably saw more football in high school than we ever would have seen because it wasn't here until, 88, I think it came here, 88, 89. And that wasn't at high school. That was middle school because I was one of the first coaches on a middle school team. And I don't think we were high school until about 1990.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that area. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while now. So you've got your second generation kids coming up to play football, whereas with baseball and basketball, you've got your fourth and fifth generations playing those sports. So, and I think that's why Powell County was behind the eight ball some with football, because you didn't have that tradition like you have in the other sports.
I would wholeheartedly agree with that. I did talk to a guy today. This might surprise you, Greg. A couple years ago, I think Wolf County talked about having a football program, and it was going to be self-funded. Well, they've hired their first football coach, and now they're going to fund the program. So they're going to be starting football in Wolf County, and I think trying to start this year.
Wow.
Yeah. Hello. It's a nice time to try to start something, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, one thing about Wolf County is they've always had some bigger kids. And Campton, back when we were growing up, Campton was a bigger town. It's not so big as it used to be.
Yeah.
But you always had really, really big kids. Even when we went to school, we had the big kids that would have translated to a good football team, I believe, back then. But you just didn't have any organization for it. And it takes a lot to organize a football team. It takes a lot of effort and a lot of years to get it going.
And a lot of money. I do know that it is a major fundraiser for a lot of folks. And I think that's the one that kind of kicks this COVID thing a little bit. If you have your football revenue, then all other teams can kind of survive. If you don't have that football revenue, then what are you? You're kind of costing yourself money. But I do think if you had football and you have no fans or limited fans, are you costing yourself money?
You have to be, because if you don't get that money at the gate money, and that's the gate money and concession money is where you make the money playing football. And like you said, it funds so many different things. It funds the soccer and the wrestling and things like that. Basketball is self-sufficient. It funds itself along with other things. But even softball and baseball are partly funded by the sports that make a lot of money, basketball and football.
That's exactly right. So, you know, you wonder, I know last week at the KHSA meeting, or not last week, but the last KHSA meeting, you heard, I think the meeting lasted about 3 hours, and for about 2.5 hours, they talked only about football. And I know that's the driving argument out there. And, you know, Ken Jones would tell you something different, but that's the driving animal is football, because it is a huge revenue sport in the fall. But again, to me, I don't know if it's worth the risk of playing when you're getting less revenue coming in anyway. Maybe just, you know, not shut it down, but I think push it back to your original start date, September 11th, see where the numbers are and kind of go from there.
Yeah, I know. I've watched over the time. The start date for Powell County was in August, and they were going to play Montgomery County, which is a border rival.
Mm-hmm.
Then it moved to where they were going to August 28th, and they were going to play Estill County first game.
Yep.
Now, September 11th, and it's Prestonsburg, and that's former head coach
Brandon Brewer
at Prestonsburg. So all three teams have had the different luster with Palkany playing them and would have brought in a big gate wherever you go.
And for Powell County, the beauty of that is Montgomery County was away. The Estill County game was away, so that is one that I do think was going to be put back on the schedule. I think they said that you're going to lose three, but you can pick one of them back up, so you're really losing only two by the new schedule. Like I said, I don't think a lot of coaches want to lose another week or 2 weeks out of their season. But again, when I look back at the spring, we lost our entire season. I don't think a lot of these coaches really understand what we went through as coaches. And I don't want to see the kids go through that. But I kind of agree with Andy Beshear what he said today. If you push it back a couple of weeks and the numbers get better, we're in line for a longer season. If you start too early, you have a shutdown, then you're probably done for the season. So there's probably a little truth to all those arguments, and I guess everybody can have their own opinion on those. But I do agree with him a little bit on that statement.
Yeah, and even anymore, even into November when you're playing high school football, there's not that many really cold days. I mean, you've seen it some where the state championship is really cold, be zero and things like that, but pushing it back 2 or 3 weeks may not be any different than what it is now.
So if you had to guess, what do you think KHSEA does?
If I had to guess, I would think it was October before they get started. And that'll kind of give COVID a chance to see what's going on. And that'll get rid of the heat index issues that we've had in August and early September with high school football.
Yeah, I would say for a long time, Greg, I think August is always way too early to start football because of the heat. It's just, and I remember games we've went to that's just been brutal on the kids, and you don't pay for it for the first 2 weeks. You pay for it. You're paying for in week eight what you went through in week one or two because of the heat. And I think those can be a good thing for a lot of those kids. We've got one more break to go to, Greg. I got some memory questions I want to ask you here when we come back from the break, though.
Okay.
So be ready. Back in a minute on PCSN Live on WSKV 104.9 FM.
You may find yourself with a backache, sore shoulder, or downright painful knee. We often just take it easy and hope the pain subsides after wondering what happened. Navigating our current healthcare system can be a daunting task. A cost-effective approach is to schedule a free injury screen with your Stanton Apex Network physical therapist. During a free injury screen, you'll spend time with a licensed professional to figure out the best plan of care, completely free of obligation or cost. Apex Network Physical Therapy is your hometown provider for the highest quality physical therapy and sports rehab. Contact the Stanton Apex Network Clinic at 606-393-6505 to schedule your free injury screen today.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, So I'm looking through your back window right now, making a shopping list. You just have so many expensive, nice things that would look great in my house, or even better, as cash in my wallet. As long as you don't get those pesky folks from Protex Security and Fire Systems involved, my payday should be sometime early Saturday morning.
Don't let your home breaking be someone else's payday. Protect your home from thieves, fire, and much more. Call Protex Security and Fire Systems today at 606-663-9348.
Welcome back to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken and Greg McIntosh with us tonight. I'm going to ask you a couple of, I guess, throwback questions here, and I'm sure you'll get them right because there's no right answer, wrong answer here. Can you tell us your favorite broadcast moment?
Favorite broadcast moment. Well, I kind of thought about that, and I had two or three. It was always really nice broadcasting from Rupp Arena and from Applebee's Park.
Yeah.
My favorite moment was calling the home run call for my son's very first home run in high school at Owsley County.
How excited did you get?
I got pretty excited. Matthew was there with me doing it on the radio, and I can still remember. I thought it was going to be a fly ball, and it just kept going, and it was a home run. And a couple of the guys knew that I was really excited, and they went and got the ball and brought it back to me. But that was one of the more memorable things. A crazy thing that was really memorable was when one of the Palkany players broke his ankle on the court, and it made a really loud pop. I won't say who the player was. Everybody knows who it was.
Yeah, I do.
that was one of those things. Just winning some of those regional championships, and even the volleyball team last year in the regional championship for the first time. Those are some exciting moments that I remember and you can't forget.
Yeah, you brought me some memories back there. I forgot about. I think we did the radio broadcast at the state tournament, and we did the Applebee's game. I think the regional tournament game where Powell County won basketball, I think you and Ken were probably doing that game, if I'm not mistaken. I was on the PA, I believe, at that point. But, yeah, you brought back some good memories for me. Do you think you could replay the home run for Aaron?
Yeah, I probably could.
We need to turn your volume down first.
How much screaming did you do on the air? Because, you know, sometimes we all get excited, right, when certain things happen, you know, for our team in a sense. And when all of a sudden, you know, we catch ourselves yelling and screaming during those moments. So how was it for you as far as, you know, your reaction on air during that time?
Well, I was trying to be subdued. Even though I was really excited, I tried to be subdued, and I've talked to a couple people that actually heard me calling it, and they said, under the circumstances, you did pretty good. You didn't get too excited.
Yeah.
I caught the ball to me. I mean, honestly, I did, and it was a good thing. And I can remember it was the top of the second inning. He was the first batter, 1-1 count, and things like that. Just don't forget.
Yeah, I think it's me, the one that you all have to worry about on being the excitable one on any of the broadcasts, because if anybody ever got us in trouble for being too excited, it's always me.
I think we could probably all agree with that.
That's kind of the no-brainer. It's just you were always, like Ken said, you were always kind of subdued and very professional, and I was always one going berserk in the booth. It was always me. I was the problem child.
Well, and that was because that when I started, it was with Keith Joseph, and he was kind of subdued like that, and then it was with Ken, and he was like that. So I guess it came natural by learning from those guys.
And I was just being me. But, you know, when I look back at radio, you're like me. Did you listen to a lot of Marty and Joe?
I did. I listened to those guys, and I listened – so basically, whatever you could listen to back when we were growing up, there wasn't that much you could listen to. I watched the Atlanta Braves when the Atlanta Braves wasn't very good at all.
Yeah, on Turner Television.
Watched Cubs when they were terrible. on WGN.
Yeah.
Because the only games you could get.
Yeah, now we got every game that you want and can't get any of the Reds games because we're in a blackout area.
Yeah.
Unless you have DirecTV, I guess.
Yeah. In the black hole.
Yeah, we're in a non-watch area, and it's just I get so mad about that all the time. But I try to be more like Joe Nuxall. I mean, he always got excited. Marty was kind of laid back or whatever, but Joe got excited, man. I try to be like Joe.
Oh yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with getting excited.
It brings to me honesty to the broadcast. Which
exactly? That's one thing that we always try to do: be honest. And
yep.
People sometimes liked it, and people honestly at times did not like it. I know we've got in hot water a few times by giving our opinion of what we saw, and people would get aggravated with us. But when you're broadcasting, it is your opinion. You're trying to paint that picture for whoever's listening to see what's going on by your words.
See, you're talking about the Wolf County broadcast, aren't you? That was all me, by the way. But, you know, but when like later on, you talk to the coach and explain why you said what you said. He's like, okay, I get it. So since then, that coach and myself have got along really well since that, after I explained myself on why I said what I said. It wasn't a personal attack at anybody. It was just what I thought at the time. And actually, that coach understood why I said what I said then, and made for a good conversation. But again, I think that all three of us will always be honest on the station, whether it's for Powell County, against Powell County, or whatever it is. I think that one thing that we can hold true, we're always going to be give our honest opinion on there.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed talking to the people that were listening, and they would say, yeah, we listened to that game. Or we had relatives in Western Kentucky listen to that game. I know I've had people from Seattle, Washington tell me they've listened to the game. We had people from Iraq and Iran listen to the broadcast on the radio, on the computers, when they're deployed there.
And we knew Scott Sibby listened, didn't we?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And my nephew Ryan lives in Seattle, and he says I listen to the games all the time on the computer.
You know,
and that way I feel like that I'm still seeing you.
Yeah, we don't realize, I guess, how much people actually listen, because a lot of those people that are actually listening to our broadcast are people like that, people that are more than 4 hours away from Powell County and can't get the games any other way. And since they've went online, it's really kind of boomed for the station here, and it's been a big change.
Oh, yeah. I know there's many times I always go to the Florida for spring training for baseball, and that always happens to be right when part of the regional tournaments are going on. So I've been on the beach several times or in restaurants in Florida listening to you and Ken at a Powell County basketball game.
Yeah, it's nice. You pull out your phone now, listen to a broadcast. I know when I wasn't with you guys, was out playing cards wherever I was, and I'd still like turn on radio and a couple times, and we'd all do the same thing. If we hear something's going on, we always text each other. You got a glitch. Your mic's too low. Your mic's too high. You know, and it's always nice to have that feedback. You know, I wish we had more of it, I guess, from people just to let us know how we sound. But you know, it's always fun, and except the times where the stuff doesn't work right. You were really always great about handling that, Greg.
Well, I may have thought I was great. We'll say that. I seemed like I was. I may have been calm on the outside, but it was a ball of fire on the inside.
If you could ever see Greg's reactions when you couldn't dial in and you got cut off, to see Greg go through that was not fun.
Well, in general, I think seeing all of us, yeah, when we go to commercial breaks and we're up in the booth and you're not seeing us and or hearing our conversations, people will probably be surprised, because at that point, it's just like, that's when those frustrating moments come out, right? All of a sudden,
yes,
you hit the button and it doesn't go to commercial, or you can't get logged back in and they're back to action, and
you miss
we're
a
trying
touchdown
to get caught up. Yeah, you miss a touchdown. You're trying to get caught up. So a lot of off the air things that kind of happen that people are unaware of.
And by the way, Greg is the best at this. We would sometimes come back almost 3 minutes into a basketball game and have those delays. Greg could almost recap that 3 minutes play by play, or at least make it up where it sounded real. I'm sure the people in the audience that were listening to the games those nights were thinking, what are they doing in the radio booth tonight? They're way behind. I mean, we're lagged anyway, but we're not that lagged.
No, but he always did a great job.
The best at that ever.
That and volleyball.
Yes.
Volleyball play-by-play action. There will never be another Greg McIntosh that will be able to broadcast it, period. But yet, when it came to volleyball, you had a special knack to keep people engaged and make it entertaining for people. Nothing but respect on my part.
I know Ken's always, how in the world did you do volleyball?
Well, I remember
one of those things. Just go.
I remember the first time we did a broadcast on volleyball. I went to I think it was Leslie County to try to get a regional game. Of course, I think you thought I was silly then too. But then I think you actually fell in love with volleyball, and that was almost your favorite sport to broadcast.
Oh yeah, I really like volleyball. My stepdaughter played volleyball, so that kind of got me really interested in it, and watching her. And then it's just like all these other sports. You see these kids, and I know you do it coaching too. You see these kids, you get attached to some of these kids. You think that these kids are good kids. They've got good parents. They want to do well. You want to see them do well, and you want to describe what they're doing as something good as well.
Yeah, and you know, I don't think we cover probably enough sports, but we've tried a lot of sports that are really hard to cover. I'll apologize to soccer because they're one of them, but man, those are really hard to broadcast. But you know, it's actually a lot of fun if you're enjoying the crew that you're with. The games are kind of second nature, and it's just fun to do those and have those moments together. And it's just always been just a kind of a fun gig for me. And I know what you're talking about. I've been retired, I guess, now for 5 years from teaching. I don't know the kids walking the halls. I only pretty much know the athletes I get to see. And, you know, you're kind of that way, I guess, since Aaron graduated, you knew a lot of the kids. Since then, you probably don't know them as well. And that does make a difference when you're broadcasting, is you're not as in touch with the kids that are there as you once were.
Yeah, it makes a difference. And you've got to take your hat off to WSKV and Ethan Moore and Andy Moore for saying, hey, let's cover volleyball. Let's cover soccer. Let's cover softball. Because when we started covering softball, it wasn't the thing to do.
Correct.
When we started volleyball, it was not the thing to do. And now you look around and there's a lot more radio stations covering volleyball, a lot more covering softball. And that's a good thing. You're getting some of these sports that the girls are participating in be covered like the boys.
Yes. And, you know, it's always about equal time. All the kids are working hard at their particular sport, regardless of what it is. And when they get coverage, they always appreciate it. We always hear from the parents, thank you guys for covering the game. You gave our kids some publicity tonight. And again, it gets back to the kids. And like you said, WSKV has kind of given us say, go cover whatever you want to cover, even if it costs them more money.
I mean, you know, going to Leslie County or Letcher County or Perry County and just covering that time and the mileage and stuff, it costs a lot of money to do that. And I don't think the people that are listening really realize that, that the Moores and WSKV have really provided a good service to them, and I don't think they realize it.
I think I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
You know, Ethan has really kind of pushed us out there even to go further than what we do. Since you mentioned a couple of schools, you got a favorite place you like to broadcast the most?
I like to broadcast from Letcher County Central's basketball. boys or girls. I don't know what it is about that gymnasium. Just it feels like Powell County. It feels like a home kind of an atmosphere. And you're always going to have some that you really didn't care for as well. But Letcher County Central was always good. Even doing the softball and the baseball games in Letcher County Central is always really good. So if you're going to be a second home, I guess Letcher County Central would be good to go and do for me.
Well, let me ask you a question about Letcher. Where did you broadcast from at Letcher? The floor, or were you up top?
Twice. I've been twice, once from the floor, once from the top.
Okay. I just kind of curious. I always see guys down low, and I always know Greg doesn't like it really low, right?
No, I don't. I like to be a little bit higher and to get a better perspective that way. And that's one of the reasons I like the booth at the Powell County High School as well, because you're up as high as you'll be able to go, and you can see everything. It's like, especially in volleyball, you see the play developing as it's going along.
Yeah, that perspective, you're exactly right. Yeah. When you're up higher like that, you see things unfold before it actually occurs. And when you're down on the floor, you don't have that perspective. And how many times have we broadcast just setting up in the stands, right, on the bleachers somewhere just to be broadcasting a game?
Yeah, and especially some of the sports that don't get the big media coverage, you get that because – you walk in the door and they say, "You're doing this game on the radio?"
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we heard that?
Oh, they're never ready.
You walk volleyball.
Yeah. I was going to say, you walk into a volleyball. We're doing volleyball. What? Soccer. What?
Yeah.
You know, you guys cover that? I think that's something people don't know about WSKV. We're kind of a pioneer because we don't, as far as the crew here, we didn't care to take chances on going to those events, and the station would give us that latitude to go cover them.
And you've gotten a lot of people listening to WSKV and Powell County Sports, and for that reason, because they know that you're going to be covering something that nobody else is.
That's exactly right. The more nights you have on, the more nights they can listen, the more the listening rate goes up. And I think I think Ethan's told us, overall, we're probably the second-rated show. Other than radio, we're number two as far as the most listened to show that they have on radio is our weekly sports broadcast.
Yeah, it's hard to beat radio.
Yeah, it's tough. I listen to radio. I mean, it's about the only thing not a knock, but I listen to radio a lot myself. So it's really kind of I have more fun listening to radio than anything else. But our time is gone. Just like I guess yours. Go ahead, Ken. Oh yeah, have you got any other thoughts or?
Final comments or
leave us with
you? Words of wisdom?
Words of wisdom, I don't know. Just I've really enjoyed working with Ken and Dave and the other people as well, and the Moores and all the people at the games and stuff. I'm going to try to see as many games as I can. I know I've looked at the schedule and try to do that. And if these two guys can't make it, you may be hearing my crazy voice back on the radio some to try to help out as well.
I love that response. Cause,
yeah, me too.
You know, we was talking about this off the air. It'd been nice to have this show ran with all three of us in. We could have a really good political debate in here. I'm just teasing, but
he would go political on us.
But we could have, I mean, we would have so much fun. We always did anyway. It's just we got three seats in here, so but yeah, you're going to be missed. And again, you're welcome back anytime you want to come back. We'll make sure Ethan pays you something too.
I appreciate it.
All right, Greg. Well, thanks a lot. Thanks for the
time. Thank you, Greg. Appreciate it.
And we'll let you get off here. So that was Greg McIntosh. Again, 26 years, WSKV radio broadcaster, has, I guess, officially hanging up his duties here at WSKV. But, again, we have some hope to get him back in the studio or at the events. That's always great to hear. But he will be missed as we step away. And hopefully tomorrow night they'll make a decision at KTSA. We'll let you know the outcome of tomorrow night's meeting next Wednesday night. I'm sure you already know what it is by then. But
we'll try maybe even next week, maybe have a couple of the coaches and get their response as far as what kind of will transpire tomorrow and going forward for them, depending on their take on that.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. We just, again, wear your mask, social distance, and keep the protocols up if you can, because the quicker you do that, the quicker the numbers go down, the quicker we can safely get back to school and have athletics here in Powell County. So good night from PCSN, live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Thanks for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken from the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton. This program is hosted by Ken Simon and David Faulkner. Production is done by Ethan Moore. Programming is done by Angela Osborne. PCSN Live with Dave and Ken is a Pickup Country 104.9 production. Tune in live next week or on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcasts.
FM 104.9.